Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome back. It is good to be with you. Did you guys see the video of the orca killer whale, whatever you want to call it, that carried her dead calf for 17 days?
God.
Across 1,000 miles of ocean.
Depressing.
Wow. Yeah. She's lost another one. Yeah. That's too bad. Okay, and happier news.
Every mother is just going, ugh.
I didn't know that they could carry their calves on their back while they swam.
Well, they just pushed it up and out of the water slightly.
It's Velcro, Scott.
Oh, my God.
You know, rain is different than snow.
I heard that.
Well, how do they do that with all the water material getting in the way?
Very popular program.
I feel like the water material would pull the calf off.
Look.
That's my point.
Say
it's
what
not,
you will.
It's not like they're swimming through snow. Snow is different than rain.
Say what you will about my weather vocabulary.
You mean new word?
I just texted all of the children. No one is leaving the house between Friday and Monday just to be safe.
Did you just get their phone number?
I have revived my contacts, Sam.
Now, wait a minute. So hang on. If you missed the beginning of the show, we put out the APB for all the contacts in Dana's phone because she got a new phone, over the week or during the week. God, I keep thinking
and
the last.
None of my contacts transferred.
None of them transferred.
Mm-mm.
And you went to a professional place.
I went into the store and they were like, ooh, yeah, I don't know that we can help you with that.
Was this first day on the job?
I don't know. It was a mess. But during this program, about an hour ago, be careful what you wish for. All 2,736 contacts came flooding back into my phone.
Wow.
So we're back online.
Which sounds like a massive exaggeration. It's not.
So I texted all of the children in a group chat and I said, look, I hate to be the bearer of the bad news here, but Saturday into Sunday is looking dicey, and I don't want any of you driving if it is not absolutely necessary. And then we can have a discussion about what necessary means.
How do you know how many contacts you have?
Scroll all the way to the bottom, and there is a number. And I never knew that until a couple of weeks ago. Someone said to me, scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a number. Hi. My number is bigger than most people's number.
I'm someone.
You have how many?
2,736.
I have 398.
Yep. That is a product of having the same cell phone for 26 years. 25.
And all those random people you meet on the street when you are on TV just grabbing their name.
Grabbing their name and number. Yeah. And so I've thought about going letter by letter and going just like one night I go through the A's. Like during watching a movie or something.
Just text them. Do I know you?
One night I go through the B's and I start weeding people out. But Scott, I do believe it would take hours of my time to do it. And I just don't know that I've got it in me. I'm going to be honest. You have how many contacts?
398.
I got mine all the way down to 259.
But who always gets the text from everyone on this show? Hey, can you reach out to so-and-so? We don't know how to get a hold of them. And lo and behold, I type in that name and there it is.
No, Dana, nobody is making fun of you.
It is. If it was a Rolodex, it would be.
There'd be three of them.
Yeah, it would be large. There would be Rolodoxy.
Rolodie.
But it's better to be in your phone because if your Rolodie get water terial on them,
yes. What if there was a fire?
Water terial.
By the way, speaking of, did you see four people died in a fireworks incident in
Honolulu,
Hawaii? What in God's name were they making?
Yeah. Stop. People got hurt.
What were they making in that house? Have you seen the aerials?
Yeah.
They were making fireworks.
That is not fireworks. That is like multiple, not even M80s. What's bigger than that? This was TNT.
Well, you put a lot of M80s in the same room and it basically becomes TNT.
My God, 20 people are hospitalized and injured, four dead over what they're calling obviously illegally gotten or homemade fireworks.
I believe they were stored improperly as well. The governor was on TV this morning I'm trying to remember, normally not a fan of new laws, but he was proposing a new law that sounded like it made some sense. And it was regarding, like, what kind of fireworks people can own and store and make on their own property.
It's a big business.
It certainly is.
Did you see the lady who was at the Times Square celebration? They got a hotel room with an open balcony over Times Square or something like that. For whatever reason, the window was open in front of them. They shot the fireworks off, and a flaming ball of ember hit her square in the chest in their hotel room.
No.
And she started running around, and it was stuck to her chest.
Oh. Stop, drop, and roll. Stop. Well, maybe then you don't stop, drop, and roll.
No, because then you rub it in.
Yeah.
I think you were gone when this came up, Scott. Someone posted this on Facebook, and I stole it because it's a fascinating question. Was there any advice that we got as children, specifically in grade school, that was used less, thankfully, than stop, drop, and roll? When you look at the need for a campaign to save children's lives, like wear seatbelts, okay? Just say no to drugs, which was an abject failure. We all know that. Was there anything used less but promoted more than stop, drop, and roll? Because someone wrote on Facebook, I've never known anyone that's caught on fire. I've never caught on fire.
Get under your plywood desk when the Soviets shoot missiles.
There's another one. Yeah.
Because that desk is going to protect you from all the radioactivity.
It wasn't even real wood it's and very flimsy metal.
The ceiling coming down on you in the rubble that to protect you from that.
Yes. So what, that you would live another three horrifying minutes?
So your evaporated body wouldn't get hit by a cinder block?
It's just something to do.
Watch her arterial form.
That's what would end up happening if you were hit by a nuclear blast.
Yes, you would be waterized. You would
but see, stop, drop, form. And roll has actually been quite successful because there aren't that many people who get consumed by fire.
But, Dan, just I also saw
down the street. It works.
On these social media websites that teachers and others are saying that stop, drop, and roll is actually the worst thing because during a time where you shouldn't be stop, dropping, and rolling, kids, it was automatically in our brain that that's what you should do in a variety of circumstances where that's actually not what you should do.
If you catch fire somehow, instead of running from it, which is the reaction that most people would have to try to run away, stop, drop, and roll to put it out.
Wouldn't you just start ripping off your clothes?
Well, that, I mean, that would make time. More sense.
Well,
you're supposed to smother it. And I understand
you're
the directive.
To smother it
I'm just
to
saying
it
was such a part of our childhoods. And I'm pretty sure 99.99999% of people out there have never had to or known anyone else who has had to stop, drop, and roll.
But that 0.01%, it's come in handy.
I remember actually practicing on the tile floor in the hallway in our grade school. The act of stopping, dropping, and rolling.
I feel like maybe our elders thought spontaneous human combustion was happening way more often than it was.
Dan, do you catch on fire a lot?
Not too much.
Here's one from the text line. Don't take candy from strangers.
That's a real one.
Number of strangers who have ever offered me candy, zero.
Are they in a white conversion van?
Now, I did have a guy offer me candy in a white conversion van one time.
Did you really? Is this a true story?
This is a true story. I was like 12, and I was riding my scooter in my neighborhood, and he pulled up next to me and was like, "Hey, kid, you want some candy?" And I was like, "No, I'm good." He was like, "Can I have your scooter?" And I was like, "No, I'm good."
But can I have your scooter?
Yeah, I think it was just a kid, like a mid-20s kid messing with a 12-year-old who was scootering down the sidewalk.
What, just trying to scare you or something?
It worked. I mean,
what kind of candy are they offering?
Really, Dan?
Almond Joy?
Really?
I mean,
come on.
This is a true story. You know that I tell everyone, do not ever buy anything off of the marketplace and then meet them in a parking lot because, you know, there have been some very high profile cases locally where it's been a very bad ending to
those stories. There have been some that have ended in death.
Yeah. Cannot believe I'm telling you this, but I broke my own rule. Because it was someone with some memorabilia specific to Lawrence.
Too good to be true.
And
we're
so,
meeting up in the parking lot.
Oh, it's even worse, Dan. So I can't go because I'm on the air. I send my daughter, who takes her sister.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait. I send my daughter.
What?
Who takes her sister. It was a Quick Trip parking lot. Okay, that's fine. And I say to the guy.
Because no crime ever gets committed in a Quick Trip parking lot.
My daughter will be there in the front row of the Quick Trip in daylight hours. I mean, it was like 2 p.m. And I said, what will you be driving so she knows how to find you? And he replies, I swear to Moses, Scott, I swear to you. He replies, a white conversion van. I
abort.
So did you get the item? And how are they enjoying their vacation in Dubai?
Like, oh my God. So not just one daughter. Her sister's like, I'll go with you. They go to pick it up. They had a lovely conversation with the guy about the history of Lawrence. They said it was absolutely lovely. I would not do it again.
And then he kidnapped them.
No, he did not. But when he said I'm in a white van, I thought, oh, God.
Of course you are.
Do you listen to the show? Are you kidding?
Is there a bed mattress in the back?
God.
Pervert.
Some Almond Joys.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe you sent your two daughters.
It was art regarding the history of the city of Lawrence.
Would it have been better had she sent her sons?
No. But looking back, I'm like, oh, my God, what was I thinking?
I'm not going into that trap, Sam. I'm smarter than that. Nice try.
Take the bait.
I mean, are they full-size candy bars or the fun size?
Oh, my God. 913.
You're really creeping me out. Wow. Yeah, man.
Did you pull up in a white van today? Because I'm starting to wonder.
Get a new car?
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
And we don't do a lot of business news on this program, but, oh.
Yeah, I'm sad to see this one.
I might have to drive to Lawrence tonight. Papa Kino's has shut down its last Kansas City location, the one in Old Overland Park.
Didn't they just move that location not too long ago?
God, it is the best pizza in the world. I don't know. The only one left, this story says from the Kansas City Star, is the original at 8th and Mass in Lawrence.
Which is, if you've never had Papa Kino's pizza...
Oh, it is so good.
Oh, my God. Sam, have you ever had Papa Kino's? Because it is the best on the planet.
It's thinner. She's right. And the slice, you just buy it by the slice. It's huge.
Well, and it comes, and...
You can get a pie, but, you know, you just buy the one slice.
It's not a slice. Like, it's a slice, but they cut it up
it's
diagonally.
Enormous.
And
yeah.
It comes like New York style?
Oh yeah.
I don't even know what to call it. It's the best. It is the best pizza
extra
out there.
Extra greasy.
Period.
Oh, yeah. I've been eating that since I was in... KU. It is that good. The United States, the Commerce Department, said today it is considering rules that could limit or even ban the sale of Chinese-made drones in the United States, a move that follows growing alarm over a disturbing series of unidentified drone sightings in New Jersey and New York.
Yeah, nothing to worry about there.
The department is seeking public comments by March 4th to bolster security in the U.S. drone supply chain. And cited acute threats from the People's Republic of China and Russia that may offer our adversaries the ability to remotely access and manipulate these devices, exposing sensitive U.S. data.
The concern being that since they wrote the code for the device to work, they obviously know whatever loopholes they may or may not have put in there to get backdoor access and gain control whenever they want to.
We would be remiss if we did not mention that over our break the last couple of weeks, Scott, not one, but two airplanes went down.
Well, one was shot down over Azerbaijan.
Are they now saying that is Russia?
Well, I mean, come on.
Didn't Russia suggest that it was Russia?
Yeah, they sort of hinted with a, sorry about that.
Yeah.
And then where did the other one go down? It was in...
It was South Korea.
South Korea,
that's right.
All 187 people?
Yeah, and that's horribly tragic, of course. Although they're saying that was a bird strike, they believe. And if there had not been a concrete berm at the end of the runway, it is highly likely most of the people on board would have survived.
Okay, so why is there a concrete berm there? Usually there's a whole bunch of grassland, right?
Or a little hill, yeah.
Only or water.
This is as of December 29th, so I've got the CNN story from December 29th in front of me. Only two people survived South Korea's worst plane crash in more than 20 years. Mm. Just two of the 181 on board.
Mm. I want to take just a brief moment, if I could. I'm not violating any confidence or sharing information. I shouldn't. It is public information now. one of the 14 people who died in New Orleans happened to be an employee of our company, not from Kansas City, but from New York. And he was only 25 years old. He was an account executive, which is to say a sales executive, out of our office in New York. None of us met him or knew him, but we got an email from the company CEO this morning saying that this young man, who was by all descriptions energetic, great at what he did, fun-loving, etc., was one of the 14 who sadly lost their lives in that horrible terrorist attack in New Orleans. And to his family, of course, I know they're not listening, but just the sentiment is worthy of saying.
Heartbroken. We are heartbroken.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Agnes Coletti, a Holocaust survivor and the oldest living Olympic medal winner, has passed away at the age of 103. Coletti died this morning in Budapest. The Hungarian state news agency reported she had been in critical condition since Christmas. She won a total of 10 Olympic medals in gymnastics, including 5 golds for Hungary at the 1952 Helsinki Games and the 1956 Melbourne Games. She overcame the loss of her father and several relatives in the Holocaust to become one of the most successful ever Jewish Olympic athletes. She was born in 1921. Of course, the war breaks out when she's 19 years old. She hid her identity by posing as a cleaning lady, working as a maid, and assumed a false identity. Her mother and sister survived the war, but she didn't get to go to, obviously, the Olympics in 40 when she would have been 19, and in 44 were canceled.
Because of the war.
And in 1952, she ended up, or check that, 48, she had to miss those Olympics, even though it was post-war, because of a nagging ankle injury. Mm. So now she's...
Yeah, past the age.
Past her prime. She still performs in the 52 and 56 Olympics and wins 10 Olympic medals.
There were a handful of notable deaths, and obviously we mentioned former President Jimmy Carter. What a beautiful human being that we lost this past week. Did you also see Tony winning Broadway actress, but as we knew her, the mom in the hit sitcom Alice died at age 87. And man, if you're our age or
you knew who
older,
this was,
you know exactly who she was because she was Alice. Mm-hmm.
She was Alice from the TV
from Mel's
show.
Diner.
Yep, that's right.
How do I still remember her son's name was Tommy? How do I remember that?
I believe she was 87.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken. What was her real name?
Linda, either Lavin or Lavin, and I believe it's Lavin.
I believe that's what I heard on the news.
Tony Award-winning stage actor who became a working-class icon as the paper hat-wearing waitress on the TV sitcom Alice, dead at age 87.
Oh, by the way, my memory came back. The other people inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last night were Kool and the Gang, Cher, who did come out and perform, and Jimmy Buffett.
That seems long overdue.
Now,
on both counts,
these inductions happened in October.
Right, but the TV
ceremony
special
didn't happen until last night.
The TV special was last night where they came out and I don't think it was live. It was probably recorded several days prior, but. Cher still sounds amazing. Has had some work done, but is still beautiful. Kool and the Gang only has like 2 members left, but they rocked Celebration last night. I mean, it was awesome. And then Jimmy Buffett, they had some guy I don't remember his name, and wouldn't even if you told it to me. James Taylor and Kenny Chesney
in tribute
believe it was Come Monday if I'm not mistaken.
Wow,
it was really good. It was really, really well done. But to one of your points, I can't remember who said it, I think it was you, Dana. How is it that it is 2025 and Kool and the Gang is just getting in and Cher is just getting in?
I know.
And Jimmy Buffett is just getting in? Foreigner just
got
in last night?
You know what I would say to that? Kiss my grits. That's what I would say to that.
That's right, Alice. You can kiss my grits.
That's my grits.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. By the way, before we get to the next story, and Dana has that one, Ronan Farrow is out with a new documentary about how your phone can be used against you. It is called Surveilled, and it reveals that tech companies and the government do have the opportunity to use spyware called Pegasus that seizes control of your smartphone and then turns it into a listening device. Surveilled is currently streaming for your paranoid satisfaction on Max.
From the Tell Me Something I Already Knew file.
All right, you're going to watch it on a television that is recording you.
From the Already Paranoid file, welcome to Dana and Parks.
Sorry.
Paranoid? I'm not paranoid.
Oh.
Why would I be paranoid? You think I'm paranoid?
This next story, I don't know who these people are, and that's not why we're bringing this up. This could be anyone at any amount of money. And I sent this to a friend of mine who works in finance and said, how does this happen? Okay. Mm-hmm. There's an Instagram influencer. Her name is Candace Miller. And you might have seen the headline a few weeks ago. She lost her husband. Sadly, he took his own life, leaves behind the wife and I think a couple of kids. Mm. He also left behind 33.6 million dollars in debt. $33.6 million in debt. At the time of his death, they had $8,000 in their bank account.
How is that even possible?
And everything that you will read about this says, quote, unbeknownst to her. And I have read somewhere that she is in some form or fashion responsible for satisfying that debt, which she's not going to be able to do.
What assets do they have to where she was able to leverage them to get that? He was able to leverage them to get that much in debt.
She'll use the $8,000 to pay off whatever she can and then declare bankruptcy.
There was a $15 million life insurance policy that is supposed to go to her. That won't even come close to chipping away at half of what he owed. But I asked you out in the newsroom. Number one, how can you be in a marriage with that much money between the two of you? Because he was some real estate guy. And you have no idea you are $33 million in debt. How does that happen?
Because at some point, I think you just enjoy the trappings of that lifestyle. And this could be the same for a man who marries a presumably very rich woman and a woman who marries a presumably rich man. You just enjoy the trappings of that lifestyle and you let them handle the finances. You don't care.
Rich people don't operate off of money they have. They operate off of money they can borrow because of the value they possess.
Clearly, that's what he was doing, Sam. After his death, she admitted to friends that she never asked about his business dealings and never kept tabs on their personal finances. And I ask you this, is she responsible in death? He's gone. Does that $33 million in debt fall to her?
Yes.
And I think the answer is yes.
It sounds to me like this guy had $33 million in working capital through real estate investments. Mm-hmm. And since he's no longer here to work that capital, it is now debt.
One of them was an $11 million loan from a bank in Chicago, a $2 million loan from another bank. It's all laid out in this.
Sort of adds up after a while, doesn't it?
It does. But, you know, she has lost her husband. I'm making this more about everybody listening. How can you have such imbalance in a partnership, regardless of whether it's $30 million or $20,000? Maybe it's easier to hide it if you don't have any money than it is if it's $30
million. I have no idea the financial circumstances of this couple. It could be as simple as she didn't want to know where the money was coming from and where it was going, or she did ask and he just didn't tell her the truth. Oh, we're doing fine, honey. We're worth tens of millions.
She was sued in September for almost $200,000 in unpaid rent for their $50,000 a month Park Avenue pad. Their rent was $50,000 a month at one property. And that says to me what they were 4 months behind in that. Mm-hmm. And she has no idea.
Well, my theory of working capital is now waning quickly.
She has denied that she owes the rent, claiming she did not personally sign the lease agreement.
Your husband did.
Yeah, right?
I mean, if your husband goes into the hospital and has, you know, some horrible calamity and comes out of the hospital, check that doesn't come out of the hospital, and the medical bills still have to be paid, that falls on the spouse.
And the idea that they were lying to each other is common.
Now, we don't know that. It could have been.
Well, she didn't know something.
Willful blindness.
Well, yes, motivational blindness.
Yeah.
What's the number one cause of divorce?
Marriage.
Okay.
Believe you me, I know.
Number two cause of divorce, financial infidelity.
Just from a practical standpoint, the story says they had $8,000 to their name when he died, okay? And the rest of it's all debt.
Yeah.
When he died, she was vacationing, like in Italy or something, with her two daughters, carrying around thousands of dollars in handbags and shopping things.
All on borrowed money.
I was going to say, but like, you only have $8,000. How are you even getting to the Amalfi Coast?
Because you have, to Sam's point, you can leverage properties in exchange for loans.
Yeah, I guess.
That's like if somebody's worth $50 billion.
They're not really worth $50 billion.
They might have $100,000 in the bank.
Well, they probably have more than that, but
you get my point.
Yes. Like when they say Elon Musk is worth, let's say, $2 billion.
On paper.
That's exactly right. He doesn't have $2 billion or, you know, I don't know what the amount is. It's some insane.
I mean, they could have $7 in the bank, but if they have $2 billion in assets that they can leverage, all of a sudden they're worth $2 billion.
Yeah. That's how the rich do it.
Yeah.
I'm not smart enough to figure that Ponzi scheme out.
If I had millions of dollars in the bank, I would log in every day just to look at the number. And
wouldn't
be
you?
Like, oh, look at that.
Just gets bigger and bigger with every day's interest.
I have no idea. I'd be like, I'm logging into that thing every single day.
Honey, not with your new phone.
Look at that.
Honey, come over here and look at this number
still
again.
Still in there. Is that seven numbers or eight?
We did that this morning, remember?
Hey, come over here. Let's count the zeros. Come on.
Right?
You know, here's what I've never understood about, like, really rich people. Is at some point, don't you just say, screw this? And I'm just going to use Elon Musk again as an example. And I'm not doing it to get political or anything. But this is a guy who is worth billions and billions of dollars. Could sell his company or his stake in his companies.
Yeah.
And walk away the rich. Go buy an island or
never
islands.
Never do anything another day in his life.
Never, except count bills.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the utility bills. And he could just, you know, what is he, 50-something years old, early 50s, I think, and just go sit on a beach in a gigantic 14,000-square-foot house, have people feed you grapes and fan you.
But that is the thought, and I'm not calling you a peasant. I'm calling all of us peasants in comparison to Elon Musk. That is the thought line of a peasant.
Maybe.
The rich people don't look at money as money. They look at it as a tool to conduct whatever business they would like to conduct.
And make more money. Because enough is never enough. And you're probably right, Sam. You know, I actually had to go to work today. If you're an Elon Musk, you choose the days you go to work. But my choice would be never.
And that's how you become not a billionaire very quickly.
And you go to Target a lot.
How can you run? I mean, if you had, let's say you had $2 billion in accessible income, you could literally live off of the investment interest forever. Forever.
How do you blow through it? You want to see me try?
Give me 1 week.
Yeah.
Give me 1 week.
Did you hear about, I mentioned this in passing, but we got off to something else. We are now in dry January. Where people take a month off to get the check liver light looked at. Shocker, drinking spikes during the holidays. 47% of men, 40% of women admitted to binge drinking during the holiday season, according to the American Addiction Centers. Uh-huh.
I have about a dozen friends who do dry January every year.
But is that offensive to those of you who are addicted and struggle that people can say, oh, I'm gonna take off January?
Well,
or not offensive, that's probably the wrong word, but, you know, try taking off your whole life.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
But, I've always thought if you drink so much that you have to designate a month where you're going to force yourself not to drink, I would argue, I can't speak with any authority other than my life experience.
Unless you're trying to lose weight.
Sure. But if you have to take a month off to make sure that you can still do it, you're walking dangerously close to a line I've already crossed.
Well, that's why they do it, to prove that they can still do it. Addiction is a spectrum. They could still be addicted.
Or dependent, yeah.
They're just further on towards the edge of that spectrum than the middle of the bell curve.
I don't find it offensive at all, actually. I find it encouraging, and I just hope that, if you're someone, and I mean this from my heart, if you're someone who is in need or think you might be in need of taking an entire month off, I hope you find the peace and serenity that comes with it.
It's a good way to look at it.
And realize that there is a better life. And the fact that you need to take an entire month off to find it tells me, again, to repeat myself, you're walking dangerously close.
Well, I would be willing to bet that most people who participate don't make it the full month. And I would also be willing to bet that the people who do participate and make it the full month don't start drinking on February 1st.
Yeah, probably.
Because you are resetting a mindset. You're resetting a habitual cycle.
Potentially habitual, yes.
I did dry first day of January.
How'd that go?
First half of first day.
Oh, so you got to 1?
Yeah.
2-ish?
Slept till 11, made it to 2.
Oh, wow, you went a whole 3 hours.
Are we talking a.m. or p.m.?
Mimosa ain't going to drink itself.
No, it's not. That orange juice and champagne doesn't mix itself. Come on now. It says here 42% of American adults say they are sober curious or reflecting on their alcohol consumption during the holidays. That is up from 33% just a couple of years ago.
And if you see a problem with your habits, actionable change.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Actionable change. I've already forgotten my word.
Acceptance?
That's right. Thank you.
Certainly wasn't memory.
Wow.
St. John's Wort?
You guys were just being mean. Oh, so while Sarah was in Puerto Rico this past week, I decided to go over and be sweet dad. And I was going to surprise her when she came back because she has a decent-sized yard, but a lot of trees. It's an older yard. Yeah. And I was going to go over, and I was going to bring a bunch of lawn bags, my rake, and I was going to rake that yard.
Aww.
I was going to bag all the leaves in her yard. And when she came home, there were going to be all these bags of leaves in her driveway ready to go out to the curb. What I didn't realize is her house is surrounded by security cameras.
Oh. Now you're the weird creeper in the backyard.
Which I'm glad it is.
Wearing a hoodie.
I was wearing this one.
I can see that.
And it was chilly that day, so I had my hoodie up.
That doesn't look sus at all.
And so I'm raking leaves in the front yard, and I had my back to the house. And out of nowhere, I hear, excuse me, can I help you? And I turn around, and I look straight at the camera, and she goes, Dad?
No way.
Yes. And she goes, what are you doing?
You got busted on your own daughter's Ring doorbell.
I go, where are you? She goes, I'm on the beach. And I said, well, I was going to surprise you and have your entire yard raked when you got home. She goes, oh, my God, that's so sweet.
Now get off my property.
Now get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. needless to say, I'm not and I actually said this to myself when I got in the car. I am not a spring chicken anymore. I bagged one bag.
You would also make a terrible cat burglar or ninja.
And my back started to hurt so badly that I called a friend and I said, how much to make you go over there and mow it and just bag up all the leaves?
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
You're coming along, my friend. Coming along.
My back hurts so bad. And when I got in the car, I verbally said, you are not a spring chicken anymore. Let's cut this out.
Mm-hmm. Get those knees in order.
It wasn't my knees. It was my back.
It's all connected.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Oh, today is a National 55-Mile-Per-Hour Day. It was on this date in 1974 that President Richard Nixon bummed out lead-footed drivers all across America when he signed the Emergency Highway Energy Conservation Act. Well, that just rolls right off the tongue. Dropping the national maximum speed limit from 75 to 55 to save on fuel during the oil crisis. And even though some states modified the limit, it still did inspire Sammy Hagar.
I can't drive.
To complain all along.
55.
Correct. His biggest solo hit, I believe. Did you know that your tonsils can actually grow back?
Okay. Tonsils gross me out. I don't like talking about them. And when you said that they could grow back, I gagged.
They profile a young lady by the, well, she's older now, but her in 1983, Katie Golden's mom stocked up their fridge in Detroit with popsicles. Golden was 5 years old, about to have her tonsils removed to help with some ear issues that she had since she was an infant. The procedure went very well. Her recovery was similar to that of many other kids back in the day who had their tonsils removed, and she was back to her talkative self in no time. But just a few weeks ago, Katie Golden stopped at a supermarket to pick up more popsicles because she was about to have her tonsils removed again.
No, they don't regrow like an inchworm that you stepped on.
They had grown back over the past 40 years, the left tonsil nearly to full size, and was causing the similar problems. Golden has had dozens of surgeries throughout her life to address inner ear issues and is no stranger to sore throats. But it had been years since she had seen a doctor that specializes in this that I can't read the name because it's too long. Ends with ologist.
Is it an laryngeal?
It's an otolaryngologist.
Yes, yes, yes. That is a doctor of the tonsils.
And try it one more time for me.
It's the otolaria. You know what word it is. It's O-T-L-Y.
Otolaryngologist.
Do you think you have to pronounce it to be one?
Otolaryngologist. There we go.
Otolaryngologist.
Mm-hmm. Common spelling.
Is that A-U-T-O or O-T-T-O?
O-T-O.
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 Laryngologist. See, how easy is it for this show to get off the rails when I'm trying to read a serious news story?
Do you know ophthalmologist has two H's in it? And if you don't, you're going to scream at me that I'm wrong, and I'm not. Look it up. Ophthalmologist is O-P-H-T-H-A-L.
Did you know that nobody can say anesthesiologist without messing it up?
Anesthesiologist?
Yeah, that one.
I said it okay.
Anesthesiologist.
See, we all mess it up.
Anesthesiologist.
No, that definitely wasn't right.
Anesthesiologist.
There we go.
I've always said that particular job is usually the most important in the room.
Now, what about nurse? Dang it.
What?
What do you do? I'm a nurse.
Is that like nurse? A nurse's understudy? I'm a nurse.
Studying under Mike Tyson.
Wow.
Nurse anesthetist.
Now that one's
that
hard.
That person is very, very... very hard to become one of those.
I was too focused on the TH in the next word.
I'm a nurse.
Nurse anesthetist.
I'm a nurse anesthetist. I'd like another one, please. I'd like someone else, sir.
I can't believe I messed it up on my example.
I want all of our nurses to go home, and when somebody says, "How was your day?" It was good. I worked as a nurse.
Anesthetist.
Again, all day.
Stop it.
It is National Personal Trainer Awareness Day. I'm not kidding. I can't make these things up.
It's time to be aware that there
of
are
personal trainers. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also for our friends of the Jewish faith, the last day of Hanukkah.
I hope you had a joyous, prosperous Hanukkah.
Yes. Celebrating birthdays today, Cuba Gooding Jr. is 57. Taye Diggs is 54. Christy Turlington is 56. And Gabrielle I'll mess this up.
Is she a nurse?
Stop.
No, she's an actress. She was on Beverly Hills.
Seriously,
you
guys.
You know her if you saw her.
Not nice.
We're going to burn in hell, man. We are going to burn in hell. We got to run. It's so good. So good to have the band back together today. I miss the hell out of you guys. On behalf of our producer today, the finest. See, now you got me all finest. Finest man in these United States.
Thank you.
The great Sam Stevie III.
The great Sam Stevie.
My good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock for Festivus Friday. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. Night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime. at KMBZ.com.